and welcome to Webcams TV. I'm your host, Corey Fowler, and with me, once again, because we love having you on the show, the man who should need no introduction, Glenn Block.
Thank you.
Brady's out this week.
I know. Aren't we supposed to have his photos?
Well, maybe we'll get him put right here, and we'll just have this big, like, sparkling version of Brady's face.
Yeah, so you guys are playing, you know, like, I don't know, like a tag team kind of thing where, you know, well, when you're here, he's traveling. When he's here, you're traveling.
So. Yeah, we need to keep the show running somehow.
I think this is our first show together, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's still time for you to bail out.
Well, I'll see you later, everyone. No, I'm really excited because, yeah, I don't really get the opportunity to have a one-on-one with the guests, so it's nice to have you here. And, you know, I hear that you have some very interesting stuff to show us.
There's a lot of cool stuff that's going on, which normally would be secret, but in this world of GitHub and open source,
yeah,
it's probably a bunch of people that already know what I'm going to show.
Well, that's all right. And if you don't, maybe it's a good reason to keep an eye on the GitHub repository.
Absolutely. Here's the key. Don't just look at the main branch. Watch the commits, because we do a lot of work in our dev branch, or our devs have forks and things like that that they're working in. So yeah, you can see little gems if you peek through our commits.
Cool. That's good to know.
And now we're pleased to bring you our feature presentation.
All right, boys, prepare to be dazzled.
Let's get ready to rumble!
So what do you have to show us today, Glenn?
We've been doing a bunch of interesting work on our command line tools, which, as many of you viewers should know, support both. We have command line tools for Windows, and we have command line tools for XSplat, which I'm always really excited about, because I work on a team where, you know, we're building tools that you can use on a Mac, that you can use on a Linux box, or use on Windows. So I'm pretty excited about that. I don't think I ever imagined 7 years ago when I joined Microsoft that I'd be seeing that day or actually working on such a project. So one of the exciting things I'm going to show today is we're taking our PowerShell commands for developers further. So today what we have the ability to do is you can actually create Node roles, and you can create PHP roles, and we have Django. And one of the things we've heard customers say, well, what if I want to use .NET? What if I want to deploy a .NET web role or worker role? Now, when we first heard that, you know, some people may say, well, I work in Visual Studio. I'm a developer. I work in Visual Studio. I can just deploy from VS. But what we heard is there's customers out there, believe it or not, that don't want to deploy from VS. They develop in VS, but then they want to have some type of CI or other process that is able to do their deployments, where the developers are pushing code, and then they want that code to get packaged up and deployed. And so for this, .NET now becomes something interesting. We've also had, you know, anytime you pick a language, like you choose Node or you choose PHP, there's going to be the, why don't you support my language? Why isn't Ruby supported?
You should support
Why X. isn't Erlang? I've had several requests. I want to be able to run Erlang in Windows Azure on web roles and worker roles. And so, you know, what we've done is previously is we go and we create these specific roles and we do that infrastructure. And we did enable you, because we're an open source project, that you could create your own. Mm-hmm. But it was a lot of work. It wasn't really easy. So, you know, a while ago, like I think it was about 8 or 9 months ago, I filed a bug that, you know, we should just have a generic add role command. We should have a way that I can say, hey, I want to add a web role or I want to add a worker role. Don't bring in IIS Node or any Node stuff or Django or anything else. Just give me a boilerplate thing that I can easily tweak, but then make it still compatible with our publish commands. So I can still take advantage of that great experience for just running one command. It packages it all up and it puts it in Azure for me. And that is what we have done. And I want to call out a developer on my team, Abdurrahman El Ogel, or we just call him Ogel, has done a really amazing job. He's also worked a lot on our PHP commandlets. So what I'm going to show you was from my brain to his fingers, and he did a really, really good job on implementing it. So what we've now got is a set of general purpose commands that you can use for anything. And we've even gone a step further and said, well, like, let's say somebody in the community goes and creates an Erlang worker role. And they figure out how to get Erlang running in Azure and they create that. They want to share that. So they don't want the developer to have to cut and paste. They really want to use those same commands that we have.
Copy and paste development is terrible.
Exactly. So what we've done, too, is we've added the ability for you to create your own templates, which could be deployed through NuGet. It could be put on GitHub. And our commands allow you to specify a template folder instead of using the default. So this way, instead of getting my boilerplate worker role or web role, I could get your Erlang role. So that's really cool.
So that's all basically by convention. So you have that template folder, and then you specify all the different templates that you want to use, or it pulls in that template folder?
It's pretty simple right now.
Yeah.
You have a parameter, which I'll show you at the... Well, the best way to do is just look at the command line, but you have a parameter that you can point to, which is a folder.
Cool.
So you could. So the flexibility there is you can put your templates wherever you want them, as long as ultimately you can get it into a folder somewhere and you can point to it,
You
can use it. So you can have different libraries of templates on your machine in different subfolders. You just have to know the name. And with PowerShell, you get nice syntax completion as well.
Yep.
So if you point it at a root template folder, it's going to be pretty easy to tab your way through based on name to find what you want.
Great.
The other thing I wanted to mention is because this role is so boilerplate, like worker role is really the do anything role in Windows Azure. You don't, IIS doesn't have, is not there or it's not going to be used. It just needs to be an executable that you can run. And why that's interesting is you don't have to only use this for developer scenarios.
Yeah.
If you have some type of server that you can figure out a way to get installed on Azure, then you can use these commandlets as a simple way to just be able to deploy those things and package them up and go.
Well, if you think of scenarios like people that are running Java today on Windows Azure Cloud Services, you know, they have to package up JBoss, put it in a worker role, and go through that.
Exactly.
So, you know, these kind of scenarios will enable people that are using different frameworks, different web servers, any kind of like IT pro, like conventional IT
Absolutely.
Pro role.
Absolutely.
And yeah, it should be.
And Java is a great one because, you know, Java, there's all the licensing and distribution issues. So I could create a template that even has a script that goes and, you know, downloads Java. If I take that over. I mean, of course, that's on me to put that in my own blob store or something. It's not something that Microsoft is delivering you. So yeah, it really offers a lot of flexibility. And you know, all you guys out there who've been wanting to have like Erlang support, it's actually now very easy also to derive from these commands. So what we've done is we've reworked all of our infrastructure so they all now use this. So it's literally only a couple of lines of code to write your own strongly typed Erlang template.
And that means the rest of your implementations work as great examples to build your own.
Absolutely.
That's awesome.
Yes. And thank O'Gail for that one, too. That was a surprise I didn't actually expect. you know, those things you hope for when you ask for something, and then suddenly it's like, oh, and I went and did this refactoring thing. And for me, I just wanted to get it there, so I was just really happy that it was actually getting done.
Yeah.
But it did actually end up giving a hidden value of making our whole architecture cleaner.
Cool.
Okay, so let's take a look at these new commands. So there's really two sets of commands that you need to know about here. There's one set of commands that are used for actually creating the web role or the worker role, and then we have the template command if you want to go further. So if I look, you'll see that I actually have a add Azure web role command, and we can see what it says, create scaffolding for a custom web role. Now, if you look at the syntax, you'll notice off to the right here that there's this template folder.
Okay, cool.
So the template folder is the thing that you're going to use for actually specifying the template. If you don't specify the template, it's going to use the default.
And for those of you out there that might not be familiar with PowerShell and PowerShell syntax, those square braces typically mean that it's something that's not necessarily required.
Yes, optional parameters.
Optional parameters. And then if you find square braces around a series of things, that means there's a grouping of things that are required. If you were to provide one, you should provide the rest of those as well.
And there's also positional as well, positional arguments. So now you can see here is add Azure worker role. So the primary difference between the two is web role is going to assume IIS. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily ASP.NET, but it's going to assume IIS, and it'll have a web config. And worker role is just going to give you an entry point. So what we'll do is all of this works first with you creating a service. So I'm going to make a query folder, because I love query. And
I'm just going to blush here.
in a...
Everyone
developer
just keeps confessing
friend sort of way. And I'm going to create a new Azure service project, and we'll call it, you know, Webcams TV.
Sounds good.
Okay, so there I'm in my Webcams TV, and now what I want to do is I'm going to just go show you both. I'll go add a web role, and I'll add a worker role. So I'm going to do add Azure web role, and then I'm going to do add Azure worker role. Okay, so let's take a look at what we got here. So new Azure service project, for those of you that are familiar with our PowerShell command, you know what this does, but if you're not, it's really creating the high-level definition files necessary for publishing a project to Windows Azure. So you have a CSDEF and a CSCFG, and we also support the Azure emulator, so you'll notice that on the config we have .cloud and we have .local. Standard things that you would see if you were working with Visual Studio. But now I'm going to open up my editor, Sublime Text, and let's peek into what we see as we look under the covers. So on the web role, I get this startup command. And what the startup command is for is if you've ever deployed any one of our roles, you may have startup tasks in Windows Azure that are going to execute when you're deployed to the cloud. What we use that for today in our commandlets are if there are runtime dependencies. Like, for example, when you deploy today a web application, a Node.js application to a web role, Azure doesn't know at all about, you know, Node. So we go and we pull down Node and we pull down IIS Node, and that all happens actually within a startup task. So we let you have your own startup hook where you can run your own startup. But one of the nice things is we still actually support that dynamic download of runtimes, even in your own custom. So what that means is, let's say I could get Erlang to work with IIS. Mm-hmm. I could actually upload those dependencies into blob storage, and we'll have to do a blog post on this. I'm not going to show that now.
Yeah.
And then I could have it that when I deploy my Erlang role, I don't have to package all of Erlang in with the role. It can actually just download the pieces it needs to once it gets into the cloud, and then it will install those pieces.
Great.
So it's actually really nice. And then after that, I just have pretty much a boilerplate web config, and we've added a couple of placeholders for common Azure services that you might want. But other than that, you see it's empty.
Yeah.
So I can easily now use this and build a .NET web application like Web API or ASP.NET MVC running in IIS, and I can just create that within my folder structure and then use this mechanism and use our publish Azure service command to then bring that up to the cloud.
Great.
Any questions on that yet, Corey?
No, I think that's really cool. I guess the next part is making this a template then?
Well, let's jump to the worker role. We've just looked at web role at this point. Let me just see if I want to see one other thing that we have here. So one of the things you'll notice, too, I mentioned the runtimes. When you look inside of the CS definition, you have this runtime ID. And that is a key that we use to look up our own runtimes, because you can have like IIS Node as a runtime or Node as a runtime. If you want to use your own, like for Erlang, you basically put it in blob storage somewhere. Actually, it can be anything that's exposed over HTTP. Mm-hmm. And you just plug your runtime URL into that value,
yep,
and it just works. So where the template is actually nice is if I'm doing that all the time, I don't want to have to manually do that,
yep,
so I can actually move that over to a template.
Cool.
Worker role, the main difference is that we actually give you this worker.cmd. That's your execution point. So like if I was going to launch my web API that was self-hosted, mm-hmm, using Owen or any one of the hosts, yep, I'm going to get an exe, right? So what I basically would do here is I would modify this CMD file to have the code that I want to execute to launch my app.
No, so how does that handle fault tolerance scenarios? Because I know that people were doing this, they were creating startup scripts, going and executing code. And then when their service failed, and the service came back online, it wasn't always executing that startup script again.
Is this what you were seeing with our current PowerShell commands?
Not with PowerShell commands in general, but sometimes, you know, people would go through the process of creating startup scripts, and then
because
they didn't make the script idempotent, it would fail the startup of that service again. And then that kind of prompted coming up with the program entry point, which I see that
we use the entry point. Yeah, we're using the entry point. So that is the entry point. So as long as you're working in this particular script, we're actually using that as the entry point. So that should work fine. 15. All right. So now what we're going to do is take a look at how I might create my own template. So let's say I keep talking about this Erlang thing. Let's use Erlang as the example. So what I can then do is new Azure role template. And I can specify whether or not it's web or worker. In this case, we didn't split them out as separate commands because you kind of know what you're doing and we didn't want to just add the extra command. Mm-hmm. So I can say, hey, I want to create a worker because I'm going to run Erlang, and I don't know if that actually works with IIS. Maybe it does, so if it does, forgive me. So now if we look at the worker role template, you'll notice it's slightly different. So when you add a role, there are entries that have to be merged in to your CS definition, which is a root level thing. So the way we let you specify that is we actually have these XML files. So you'll notice here that I'm looking at role settings.xml. So anything that I have that's role specific, mm-hmm. like if I want to open up certain endpoints or whatever I want, I have full flexibility to do that within this role settings.xml. Now, it's still static and it does like a simple replace on certain things. So depending on the feedback we get, we may evolve this feature, mm-hmm. but it should support a lot of basic features. And then we have this scaffold.xml, and the scaffold.xml is what allows you to specify which files you want to get moved into the target that's created. And the other thing we allow you to do if you inherit, we actually give you a custom hook within the commandlet so that if you need to run some custom code, like if the template mechanism as is not enough for you and you want to go further, mm-hmm. Then you can basically write your own commandlet and then we'll give you a hook during the generation time to do whatever you want. So it's pretty flexible there. We may even enhance that in the future so that you could use Mef and drop a binary in and have it just discover the binary and run my entry point so I don't need to create a custom commandlet. And this way I could still ship a template that has that DLL in it, and then it just runs.
Cool. Well, I know that you and I both know what Mef is, but can you quickly explain what Mef is to
viewers that yes. may not know? Mef is the Managed Extensibility Framework. It's a third-party plugin system that Visual Studio uses, but it's a general part of .NET. And so you can use it to build your own third-party plugins, and I actually used to work on that, so that's where the snickering was coming from. Okay, so, and we can see here that same kind of thing. I have my own worker.cmd, but because this is Erlang, I'm going to want to actually change this to run Erlang. Yeah. So the advantage I get here is once I've modified that template, now I can instance it and reuse it, and I can give it to my developers or my friends or whoever. So I think it's pretty cool stuff.
No, that is really cool.
I think it really opens up a tremendous opportunity in terms of what you can now do with our commandlets without having to write a ton of code.
Yeah. And not to mention the community around it, right? So we go out, you can create these, you can go push them out.
Put them on NuGet.
Wherever.
Put source
them on
NuGet.
Allow people to pull them in, host the code on GitHub or CodePlex, and have people contribute back to your projects. You know, there's lots of great little things that this will enable for the broader Azure community, which is really, really cool.
Absolutely. And my hope is that one day soon you'll be seeing me doing scaffolding on a Mac as well.
Cool.
So that is a hope. And if we get there, we'll bring the same mechanism over.
Excellent.
All right. So we've been in PowerShell for a while. And as we said, we support both Windows and non-Windows platforms. So what have we been doing over in our CLI space? Well, one of the things we've heard a lot of feedback about is, hey, like in PowerShell, I have this great support for creating SQL Azure databases and servers. And it'd be really nice if I can do that from the CLI. I want to use SQL Azure. I'm convinced that I like what SQL Azure has to offer, but I don't want to have to run a Windows VM in order to be able to configure it, and I don't want to have to go to the portal. I'd like to be able to do that from the command line.
One of these days, we're going to have this little marketing swear jar kind of thing here. And every time someone says SQL Azure on the show instead of Windows Azure SQL database. We're going to, like, It would be great because then we'll have sponsorship. We can have, you know, little costumes.
Wait
for
a minute.
Our
guests are the people that you're interviewing are going to have to pay? Or is this, how's that going to work? Yeah, am I going to have to pay?
The person that says it's going to have to pay. And then we'll have like, we'll have little parties at the end of the year where maybe hopefully we can invite some guests out.
Well, I'm about to probably say it a few times, so I should probably, let's...
I'm kidding. Let's see these features. I'm really excited about them.
So what you'll be able to do very shortly, and you can do it now if you went and pulled this out of Andre's GitHub repo, Andre Rod, he's another developer on my team, is you'll be able to do Azure SQL. And so, as is normal for our CLI, you can see here that I can do Azure SQL --help. And you can see that I'll be able to work with SQL servers. I can work with firewall rules, which I have to be able to do because, you know, and how many people, I'm sure anybody who's tried to work with Azure SQL database has hit into this problem of I cannot connect because I've not opened up the firewall rules properly. So you'll be able to do that. And you'll be able to also list out your databases and create your databases. And some of this is actually working right now. So if I go to Azure SQL server list, you can see that I have a server there. And we can actually go create one right now. So if I do Azure SQL server, and if you're ever trying to use our CLI, the best thing to do is just do --help at the end of the command that you want to do, and it will show you like what you need to do.
Or if you want a little bit shorter, --h.
--h works as well. I prefer --help, but you know you can do the --h thing if that's your thing.
I listen to Scott Hansman's blogs or read his blogs and listen to his podcast, and his thing is all about saving keystrokes. So I try and save any number of keystrokes.
So let's see if this works. These are very hot bits, but I did do this right before, so this should work. So what this is doing now is it just provisioned for me a new SQL server, a new Azure SQL database. And it's in this case, it hasn't done the database, it's done the Azure SQL database server.
It's a mouthful, but
so now we can list out our Azure SQL database
servers
by doing Azure SQL server list. And there you go. You can see that we created a new server. I can delete them and I can do all that other stuff. And then I can also deal with firewall rules and stuff like that. Once you have created a server, because the firewall rules apply to the server and the database apply to the server, then we'll start prompting you for passwords to get in, because you're now gone beyond just the external API into actually working directly with the server.
Yeah, because a lot of the stuff that you're doing within here by iterating over the different services that we offer it's basically using RDFE,
yes,
which is going out and just pinging the endpoint. And for that, you're using the management cert.
Yes, exactly.
But your management cert doesn't get installed on your Windows Azure SQL database. So obviously, you're going to need the credentials to kind of carry through and query some of that stuff. So
though
will you
I've
actually
heard
be able to do some querying of the tables as well?
Or is that like file way too far? File a bug. Yes, you can use SQL Enterprise Manager.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, it's like,
so you think we should actually
how much
have
do we need to do from the command line? Like, I absolutely love the command line, but I'm not sure if I'm going to jump in and
We can look at it. Do you think that's a reasonable thing?
I think we should leave it out to our audience. If you think that you want to be able to query.
Well, you should go file the bug and let people plus one it.
We plus one it. So what we'll do is I'll go file the bug, and below the video here on the page, you'll see a link off to that issue.
Yeah.
And you can just go and put your comment in of plus one or whatever little emoticon you thoroughly enjoy on GitHub.
You know, this is taking too long. Let's just do it now. Okay, so new issue.
Query databases from command line. That's going to be good.
So it would be Azure SQL Server foo database bar query.
Query. I think this is just getting insane. So if you want that feature, head off and vote for it.
And if you have a better idea of what the command line should be, if that's too complicated for you, please put that as well.
Yeah, I think that's way out there, but we'll see how many pieces of feedback we
maybe we can have a contest for who can come with, you know, both the longest command line and the most elegant command line and the worst command line. All right.
Well, that was an awesome segue, but let's get back to the actual functionality of the show.
So I think we're done with covering SQL.
Yeah. So one of the things is, like, we always go and we silo because it's like, hey, check out this great new feature, and we go, this is how we get this running. But one of the things that I've been going out and I've been talking about at different user groups, I was just in Belgium last week and went and talked out there, but I was talking about actually going and setting up a full Windows Azure website environment using the command line tools. So actually creating a shell script,
sure,
running it with,
sure,
Bash, and having it execute and build out my entire infrastructure.
Yep.
So this is one step further, right? We'll be able to get a SQL Server online.
Absolutely.
And tie that one more piece together.
Absolutely.
But I noticed on GitHub that you're working on a new project that might help out a little bit more of creating some of these different environment orchestration scenarios, if you will.
That is indeed true. I've been working on this little tool, and just to set the disclaimers, this is, you know, I said this in the email, I said, this is Glenware. This is not something, I am supporting this, but this is not, you know, this is not something that my team is officially supporting.
Yeah.
I heard a lot of people asking and saying, hey, I want to do automation, and, you know, I don't want to use Bash. And one of the things we were hearing is, hey, like, JavaScript is so powerful, and the CLI is written in JavaScript, so is there a way I could just launch JavaScript? And the benefit of that is it'll work anywhere that Node works. Like, fair enough, I could write Bash scripts, and I could use those Bash scripts on Windows if I have the Bash, you know, if I have Git Bash or whatever Bash thing I have. But wouldn't it be nice to just not need that dependency, in particular if I'm deploying to servers and other things? So it turns out that our CLI itself was not designed as well as it could have been around the scenario of programmatically using everything the CLI has to offer.
Mm-hmm.
But even if it could, that would mean that in addition to knowing the command line, you have to now learn this other way of doing things and what's the way to map it. So no, I'm not going to blame my team on that one.
Well, I wouldn't even blame your team because, yeah, if you look at about the way the Node ecosystem works,
sure,
is it's all about single responsibility almost.
Sure.
Create small little modules that handle efficient tasks, like as efficient as they can in among themselves.
Absolutely.
So you want to tie
But one of the things we did that was really great when we were doing our CLI tools is we added this switch called dash dash JSON. And a lot of that was actually for our testing. We basically allow any command that you call to get the results back in JSON. Well, I know something that works really well with JSON, right? Node works really, yeah, well with just taking JSON objects or JavaScript and just working with them. So I got this idea of, like, hey, could I write this wrapper that allows me to call the CLI as if it's a library? And Node has really good support for spawning processes and passing back the results. And that's where this Azure Scripty tool came about, which is also published on NPM. You can do NPM install Azure-Scripty- you don't need -g because it's just a library. You, yep, just use it within your apps. It also brings in the CLI, so it won't depend on you having the CLI even installed on your machine.
Yep.
It has all the dependencies it needs, including pulling down the CLI itself as a dependency.
Cool.
And so the idea of this, the big selling point of Azure Scripty is if you know the CLI, you know how to use Scripty.
Yeah.
It lets you just call and pass the commands that you know. But based on the feedback I've got, I've gone a little bit further with it. So it started off with something like what you see here. So here what I'm doing is I'm requiring Azure Scripty, and I'm going to call the Azure Site List. Now, one of the things you'll notice is it removes some monotony. I don't have to pass. If I was spawning myself, well, first I'd have to deal with spawning and catching the output streams and a bunch of other stuff that's encapsulated, mm-hmm, but I'd have to do certain redundant things like add the Azure command at the beginning, add dash dash JSON on the end. All of that's just done for me, so I can just focus on what I'm trying to do. Mm-hmm. So in this case, if I was going to do it with the CLI, I would do Azure Site List. Now I'm just doing Site List.
Yeah.
And what I get back is a callback when I call this invoke, and it will pass me the results, which in this case will be a single result because I'm just calling a command that returns a single thing, a list.
Yep.
And then you can see here, if you run this, that it's going to then output my sites. Now, then I got some great feedback from one of my teammates, Paul Badham, who works on the Azure Mobile Services team, that, you know, it would be really cool is if customers don't have to build these strings and if they could actually pass in objects.
Hmm.
And one of the reasons this is nice from a mobile services perspective is mobile services really trying to appeal to JavaScript developers. They can just use the JavaScript they know. But as we talked about it, I was like, Well, that would work for anybody who wants to use this tool.
Yeah.
So you can do this command style here. So here what you see me doing is I am putting the command mobile create at the beginning. But then after that, I have this positional property. And the positional property allows me to put arguments that must be positionally ordered. Because with our CLI, you can put everything as a parameter. But a lot of times, it's like the most common things are positional.
Yep.
This doesn't force you to choose. You could put them all named if you want to. But you have this ability to just do positional. And then what I can do is I can specify, like if I specify SQL Server, that will put a dash dash SQL Server. So anyway, this is just the beginning of what you can do. You can actually also use multiple commands and have callbacks that bring back all the results, which is going to be useful for more complicated processes.
Yep.
And I'm also thinking of even adding piping support that allows me to get in the middle and do some filtering. Like I get some sites, I want to do a subset and pass those on. So anyway, this is just a pet project, but I know a bunch of people that are looking to use it and definitely love your feedback. And I take pull requests. So you can find it on GitHub, GitHub/GlennBlock/AzureScripty, or find it in NPM.
Great. Awesome. No, I'm looking forward to digging in and seeing what I can do with it. But you also take issues, just in case I can't commit
I
back.
Do. As a matter of fact, if you look, most of them are coming external at this point.
Perfect.
But, yeah, you can see Josh Twist and Paul Badham. Those just happen to work on the mobile services team, so you can tell there's some interest on the mobile services team. But I would love to see other customers. I know there's a bunch of people that are playing with this, and please, you know, file any bugs for any issues that you find.
Great. Well, thanks for joining us on the show today.
Thanks, man.
Lots of amazing stuff that you and your team are working on, so it's great to see this come out. And thanks all you out there for joining us here on WebCamps TV.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Corey.